Listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Reading once again the letter of the Lord Jesus to the church at Thyatira, written by John, recorded in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, beginning at verse 25. But that which ye have, hold fast till I come, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let's give thanks for these words and pray that we will have ears to hear them. Our Father, we give thanks for thy way in Christ, the new and living way. We give thanks for him who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He who is the author and the finisher of our faith, and he who especially laid down his life that he might be the object of our faith, that we might have faith in his death and his shedding his blood, his resurrection, and all that he has done, and all that he is, all that he has said. We pray, Father, that we might hear his words here as they were spoken after thy going up to heaven, Lord Jesus, and declaring that thou art the Son of God. We pray that that might be believed by all nations and tongues and tribes, that we might know it to be true, and that we may know that without that, that there is no teaching that is truly true and right, that is even the heart of our salvation, the heart of the right way to be reconciled with thee, Father. And we pray that we may know that for ourselves, that we may know it also for others that do not believe it, and that must be called to repentance and called to faith in Christ as thy Son and the one who took on him the form of a man. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that thou wilt thyself teach us as this church here today, both the church and the world, that thou wilt call sinners out of the wilderness of sin and unbelief to thyself. We pray for thy blessing in the church. We pray for thy blessing in the world. We pray also, Father, for the temporal blessings needed for those in suffering. We give thanks for the blessing that we have and food and raiment and so many other things, shelter, home, when others are homeless, hungry, suffering and fear, sorrow, the terribleness of the wars. And we pray especially that where there are these terrible sufferings and deaths, that it might be seen as coming from a lie that has been propagated and a lie that is believed, and many killing both others and sometimes even themselves because of that lie, and it might be seen to be a lie, that it is from Satan, the liar, the murderer. And we pray, Father, that especially the church might do as thou hast said, Lord Jesus, before thy ascension, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in all nations and among all nations in thy name, that we may have that remission of sins, that we may have that forgiveness. And we pray that we might also have repentance, repentance from every evil way and every evil thought, every evil doctrine. We pray, Father, for those who suffer, that thou wilt look in mercy on them, in hunger, in homeless, war-torn lands, those in sickness and injury, those in sorrow, older age. We pray especially for the broken homes. We pray, Father, for those to be reconciled with each other and with thee through Christ. We pray for the children in those homes. We pray for the schools that are teaching error and lies. We pray for the needs in the workplace. In every way, Father, that we might look to thee and be made to in all of our ways acknowledge thee and have thee direct our paths through Christ. Amen. As we come near the end of this letter to this church, the fourth letter written, and we think of the words of Christ speaking them, speaking through John, the pen of John, telling him to write, but himself declaring it, as we see the beginning of this letter in verse 18 of Revelation chapter 2, "These things saith the Son of God, who hath eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet like fine brass." Yes, it is a word from the Son of God to those that the whole world that is yet in unbelief, and then that part of the world that calls itself religious, sometimes likening three different religions together and saying they are all the same, but they are not the same. And I've said it before, and I want to emphasize it again, that only those who believe the Bible, the Holy Scriptures, both the Old and the New Testament, believe that the Lord Jesus is the Son of God. Though he's spoken of in that way in the Old Testament, there are many that do not believe that he has been the fulfillment of those prophecies, especially as we can see it. David said, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." In Psalm 45, we read, verse 6, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter." And it is speaking there of the Son, not God the Father, but God the Son. And Paul brings that out in the first chapter of the book of Hebrews, referring to him there as God speaking to us in these last days by his Son, by whom he made the worlds. And as we come to the end of this letter here, and we see that promise of Christ spoken in the first person, verse 28 of Revelation 2, "And I will give him the morning star to those that overcome." The first promise is power over the nations. The second promise, "He shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of the potter shall they be broken in shivers, even as I received of my Father." We know that that can happen just simply by the word. I think of the time of Esther in among the captives in Babylon and other places there later on with King Ahasuerus, and that Haman plotted to kill the Jews and the king but spoke the word. And soon Haman was hanged on the gallows that he had made for Mordecai. "The vessels of a potter shall be broken as shivers, as I have received of my Father." God can cause that to take place so suddenly, so mightily, any time, any place. Daniel was a ruler in the kingdom, and there were those who were jealous of him. They wanted to find fault with him, and they finally made a rule that everyone had to pray and worship only King Darius, and otherwise they'd be thrown in the lion's den. And they plotted and then watched Daniel, seeing him pray three times a day to his Father in heaven, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom Daniel also spoke when he said, "The stone that would be cut out of the mountain without hands," speaking of Christ. And after he prayed, they reported him, and he was thrown in the lion's den. But the lions were kept quiet. He was not harmed. The king went in the morning to see and say, "Daniel, has thy God kept thee?" And God did keep him. And then soon after that, the king ordered those wicked men who plotted against Daniel to be thrown in the lion's den. And soon we read, before they even reached the bottom, the lions broke their bones. So God can protect one, he can destroy another in a day, in a moment. Other times, Daniel's three friends were thrown in the fiery furnace. They walked. They weren't burnt. The king, Nebuchadnezzar, saw one walking with them. He says, "He's like the Son of God." They were taken out. Soon afterwards, the message went throughout all the nations over which he had jurisdiction and declared that anyone that spoke against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, his house would be made a dunghill. Just that soon, such a great change. So when we read here that "He that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken in shivers, even as I received of my Father." Daniel's three friends didn't have to lift a finger. Daniel didn't have to lift a finger, but the king ordered it. And Esther and Mordecai didn't have to lift a finger either at that time when Haman was hanged. The gallows he had made himself were the cause of his own death. All of that God ordered. The God of heaven, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And then Peter tells us that Peter was there when God spoke such words from heaven, and then he could say, writing in that first letter of Peter, "We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, until the day star arise in your heart." We have the word of God for that, a sure word of prophecy, a word that has been spoken from the very beginning. After Adam sinned, God said, "The seed of the woman will bruise the head of the serpent." God said sometime later to Abraham, "In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." Those promises have never been broken, and they will never be broken. But the one of whom God spake and promised, stating it to Satan before Adam and Eve, stating it to Abraham, repeating it to Isaac, repeating it to Jacob, and Paul and Peter both referring back to it, and thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, yes, all the nations. Here I will give him power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and the vessels of a potter, they shall be broken in shivers, even as I received of my Father. There's probably many people that have read that, but did not see it. I think of the history of the Waldenses. I think of their terrible persecution by the church, the Catholic Church at that time, the awfulness of it, the terribleness of it, the deceit of it. And then, at the time of the Reformation, all of the church, both Catholic and Protestant, were guilty. And probably some people said, where is the God of the nations? Allowing terrible things to happen. The terrible war in Germany for 30 years after the Reformation, called the 30-Year War. On and on, till almost the nation destroying itself, like many nations are doing today, with false ways and lies. Terrible. God may go on for many years. One day with the Lord is 1,000 years. But one day these words will all be fulfilled. What was spoken earlier, much of it has been fulfilled. The seed of the woman has come. Christ has come. He has been born. He has lived. He has died. He did rise again. And now he is here speaking from heaven to John, and through John to this church and to us today, and telling us, if we overcome, that one of these generations, these things will unfold as they did with Daniel, with his three friends, with Esther and Mordecai, with David. Saul was overcome with the Philistines again and again and again, and finally died at their hand. But God then gave David the strength, the power to overcome, and set Israel in that wonderful place for a time, David and Solomon both. Later, when there was sin, there was again judgment. Many times, judgment before that, judgment after that. But when they served the Lord, when they were overcomers, as Christ said, he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end. And always remember that the first work is believing on him. The first work that Paul said to the Philippian jailer when he said, what must I do to be saved? Was very simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Yes, and thy house. They need to believe too. And they did. Every one of them. Sometimes they're foolishly called household baptisms, as if it was only because the Philippian jailer believed. But we read very plainly in Acts chapter 16 that he preached the word to all that was in his house. We read all believed. We read all were baptized. We read all rejoiced. What does that tell us? They believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and were saved in believing. That's God's way. He brings sinners to himself by giving them faith, giving them a pardon, giving them forgiveness of sins, helping them to come to that place by his Spirit, by his Word, and then saving them. Yes, saving them. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The one who is here speaking, and will give himself to them. I think again of a story of a little girl years back. She was very sick and almost skin and bones, and her mother rubbed her body and felt, had to do it carefully because she was so thin, and talked of death. And she wanted to go to the Lord Jesus. And her mother wondered if she understood, being so young. And then she said to the little girl, "How will you get to the Lord Jesus?" And she knew more than many preachers today. She said, "I think he will bring me himself. That's why I'm here today, as a saved sinner. He brought me himself." He brings us himself to himself. In justification, and then in sanctification, I will give him the morning star. Who said that? The one that John was also inspired to write later, in the last chapter of this same book, the book of Revelation, the 16th verse. "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star." Yes, he is the very same one speaking, writing, 1,000 years after David lived, and said, "I am the root and offspring of David." He fulfilled what God told David. It has been fulfilled. There's many that do not want to believe it, that call themselves religious, call themselves children of Abraham, want to identify with him, but do not know the blessing of the fulfillment, what God said to Abraham, "In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." All nations. Israel was blessed in a particular way. Israel was promised a certain piece of land. But that descendant of Abraham, that one descendant, by seed, Christ, would be for all nations, every nation. And there will be some from all nations when he comes again. And when we can see those in heaven, that innumerable host, all will be there. And he said, "Father, I am the root and offspring of David, the bright and morning star." And then the Spirit and the bride say, "Come," and let him that hear say, "Come," and let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. I think again of that little girl. "He will bring me." Well, how does he do that? He makes us willing. David said, "Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power." Oh, we need to pray for that power, for the whole world, for the church, for the homes, that power that we'll be made willing to hear the word of God, that we'll be made willing to be hearers and doers, not just think we have heard and be proud in it, as so many are in the church. We have many thinking we're rich, richer than others, but not knowing, as Christ said, poor, wretched, miserable, naked, and blind. Like one man said to me once, "We've got a good church." I said, "Do you have broken homes and divorces in that church?" "Oh, yes," he said, "everybody does." I said, "That's one reason why we're not good. Shows the love of many has waxed cold. It shows that they are proud, boasters, covetous." And not only are those particular homes guilty, sometimes one, sometimes two, but often the rest of the family, and sadly, often the church. As I say it, before I speak another week, numbers will not only have broken their homes, but numbers will have been called before God in judgment. Husbands that hated wives, and wives that hated husbands. They haven't overcome. They have been overcome by Satan's lie. They do not see the bright and morning star. They do not see that he alone is the answer. Oh, how sad it is to know it intellectually, to know it as Balaam did. Balaam could give that sad, true prophecy and say, a star shall come out of Jacob. Yes, he knew it to be true. And he knew that he would not see him close by. Will I see him nigh? Will not see him now? But he knew it was going to happen. And there many people like that. They know it, but don't know it in any better way than Balaam, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. When I say it, I tremble. I say, have I been delivered from it? Have I repented of it? We all begin loving the wages of unrighteousness, like Balaam. And God puts it in the Bible for us to learn, for us to know, for us to repent, and come to Him who is the bright and morning star, who is as we sang. And He must be there to us. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star, the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. Has He ever become that to you? I remember the night that God saved me. And the next day when I turned on the radio, this song was on. I have found a friend in Jesus. He's everything to me. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul, the lily of the valley. In Him alone I see all I need to cleanse and make me fully whole. Yes, the bright and morning star can do that to you.
To God be the glory, great things He hath done. So loved He the world that He gave us His Son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship.
Praise the Lord.